Hey, what's up, all of you who are tuning in to check out our latest message right here online? Listen, it's going to be a great message, and we hope that you enjoy, but even more than that, we would love to see you in person at one of our live weekend worship experiences. If you're not in our area, we want to encourage you to find a local church where you live, because we just believe that we're no good alone, we're better together, and you need family. So if you're not in our area, make sure you find a place where you live, where you can attend a physical church and become family. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the message and have a good day. Hey, I got a treat for you tonight before we release the students. Most of y'all, some of you may know, but I believe that in the days ahead, our role as the church is to raise up the next generation, to raise up. That's why you see my daughter up here, and I hear it every time. Hey, Daddy, please let this be the last time. When Jesus says he's done, then you're done. That settles it. Amen? I'm just kidding. I'm really not. But I believe that we're here to raise up the next generation. And so this tonight, before I speak, I had Travis, who comes to the church, Travis Wayne, and he, we've been texting. I've been getting to know a lot about him and how our paths are crossing and what I see God doing in his life and the future that he has for him. He shared with me this past week a spoken word. He asked me what my thoughts were, and I said, man, I love it. It's great. He said, well, I've been writing some. And I was like, okay, well, he shot me one, and it was actually one that he had written just a couple weeks ago after being here in worship. And, dude, it was a cross between cheering on your favorite football team, you know, oh, man, like this is what I'm having in my garage while I'm detailing somebody's car. I'm listening to this. It just came through on text, and it just got me fired up. And then out of nowhere, one of the lines, and you'll probably pick it out, then the tears start flowing. I was like, okay, what's going on? I'm having an emotional roller coaster here. And then by the end of it, at the very last line, dude, I was so stoked. I was like, okay, come on, let's do this thing. It was real, and it was raw, and I texted him yesterday and said, hey, would you be willing to do it? And he said, without hesitation, absolutely. Well, y'all give it up for our friend right here at the house, Mr. Travis Wayne. Come on. Come on, y'all can do better than that.
Thank you. All right. The other day in church, I wasn't in the right state of mind. Seeing all the smiles, but thinking about the past and how I hated mine. Happiness and depression, to me that's a faded line. Claim to be unashamed, but don't get my hand to raise when we praise in church. Some days I feel amazed by his grace, but in the same place it hurts. Now all I gotta do is pray my way out and say I'm ready for great to emerge. Yeah, I admit it, I'm a broken person looking for hope in sermons. Potent worships, love God, but feel like I just pose in churches. Looking for grace in a spoken word. I used to feel untouchable, now I feel unlovable. Wish I was cozy in the sky with some wings, but I'm just plain uncomfortable. Been feeling this way now for a month or two. Even though it's all a lie, the devil just trying to take everything from under you. I know it sounds like I just want a pity party, but this is my way to tell Jesus that I'm really sorry. I give it all to you, God. Take over my mind, take over my body. Make every move I make to be super godly. With you, I'm yelling at the enemy that you can't stop me.
Woo. Yes, sir, buddy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, let's just say it together. Come on, say, devil, you can't stop me. Come on, one more time, all over this house. Well, we're going to go ahead and release our students in the gap. They're going with Dad to the cafe. So let's give it up for all of our students in the house tonight. They're going to have their time. And we're going to get down to business in here. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. It's been like all summer. I've had the whole summer off from speaking other than one Sunday morning. So I'm ready to get down to business. How many ready to get down to business? Right? Let's go to the book of Acts tonight, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we're going to begin with verse 4 tonight. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 4. Are you there? Say, I'm there. You got a glowing Bible, you got the real deal. What y'all got? Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 4, says this. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith. Everybody say strengthened. They were strengthened in the faith and grew in numbers daily. Let me just drop this right here in front of you and say this. As your faith increases, you should see increase in all other areas of your life. As your faith increases, you should begin to see increase in every area of your life. If you believe it, say amen. Verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of, and I'm going to stop right here and go ahead and let you know, I used Siri. She told me how to pronounce this word. I ain't going to fake it and make y'all think that I knew a little something. Nope. They traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. Would y'all have thought that's how that was pronounced, Phrygia? Phrygia? That's what Siri said. But anyway, so they traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Translation, Jesus said no. God said no. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried, everybody say tried. They tried to enter into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Again, what happened? God said no. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. Everybody say vision. Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Verse 11, from Troas we went out to the sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, I jacked that one up, but it's okay. And the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that it is going to be illuminated unto us, that we can see you, your son, more clearly. God, may we understand your plan for us is not to harm us, not to do wrong to us, but is to give us hope and a future. Father, you want the very best for us tonight. So as we leave here tonight, may we silence the voices of the enemy and let him know he can't stop us, and we refuse to listen to that voice of negativity and limitation all the days of our life. Father, anoint your word tonight. Your word's anointed. Anoint me, Father, as we deliver the gospel. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I want to speak to you tonight for just a few moments from the subject. We're only going to kick this thing off tonight. We'll wrap it up next week. But I want to speak to you from the subject, when God says no. When God says no. Have you ever had anything in your life where you've been asking God, believing God for something, you really felt like it was going to be the best thing for you, and you got this? No. When God says no. Being raised in a pastor's home, as you can imagine, I got saved, or I invited Jesus into my heart at a very young age. And a lot of people go, well, you must have lived a sheltered life. Well, for a portion of my life, but I really like to look at it that I was actually not sheltered, but I was protected. So going through all of what divorce happens and how to, from a small child trying to process that, I felt like, looking back now, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, protected me. Some of you know what I'm speaking of because you've been down that road. And then later on in life, and I moved out and I began to do my own thing. How many have ever done your own thing? Even though I did my own thing, and there was a lot of times in life I made choices that I know my Heavenly Father wasn't proud of. But He loves me through the process. Everybody say, He loves me. He loves me. I was saved, but there were so many things that I did that I knew my Heavenly Father was not proud of. Something that I learned through this journey is that things that God allows us to go, He allows us to go through, it's not just for my benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. It's for the benefit of those that, as you know, our home, due to a washer malfunction, we lost 80% of the flooring in our house. Due to a flood that was taking place just two Sundays ago while we were in here worshiping. We went home and literally lost 80% of our flooring in our house. We're living in a concrete jungle at the moment. Hopefully by the end of this month, insurance will kick in and we'll be able to get all this stuff taken care of. But even through this process of people coming in and out of our home right now, trying to repair and help and all those things, I understand that the journey or the things that God allowed me to go through, He did it so that I could actually help somebody else. As I'm listening to gentlemen and other people in the home, and they're sharing their story, and I don't really know them at a deep level, and for whatever reason, they felt like it was okay, and it was okay to just pour out from their heart. And then all of a sudden, they came to, and they're like, you know, I'm sorry for sharing. I was like, hey, bro, this is what I'm here for. You know, you're here to help me, and I'm here to help you. So I really believe that the things that we go through is not just for our benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. The hurt, the heartache, the disappointment, the betrayal. Not one moment of that part of my journey can I stand up here and be honest and say that I was left alone. Even though there were times that even when I went through my own divorce because I wanted it my way, I was chasing other women and I thought that was the way to go. And it's not necessarily because there was a lot of people that I dated before Amy. It wasn't that they were bad people. They just weren't what was best for me. But let me tell you something. Once you come in alignment, back into alignment with where you're supposed to be, God will bless you. God, and she, wherever she's back there. She is the best thing. Because even when I'm in my jacked up state, even though I make stupid decisions, she's not running out the door going, man, you a wreck. Check you later. No, that's the time you dig in and go, you know what? This, I've made a commitment not just to you but to God, and we're going to work this thing out. Come on, somebody. Don't give up. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. You look at him and say, devil, you can't stop me. Amen. Not one time did I ever felt like he left me. One of the things that he taught me when he was bringing me through the most darkest, difficult days, and oh yes, there were times, there were things that I was, it'd make the devil blush, things that I was a part of. God could have delivered me from those moments, but he didn't. Why? Because a lot of the what was happening was a consequence of a decision that I made. It had nothing to do with what he allowed me to do or what he caused to happen. It was just a consequence of my own choice. But yet then we want to blame God and say, well, God, you weren't looking out for me. Oh, he was, but he'll let you have your way. So I just believe that it's so that I can stand here tonight and tell somebody that just because it's an open door doesn't mean that God opened that door for you. Job, dating, whatever. Just because the door is there and it's open doesn't necessarily mean that God opened that door for you. Just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you need to and that it's okay. Just because you have found the means to justify why it's okay to do what you want to do doesn't necessarily mean that there will be no consequences for your disobedience. All of those that I just shared, that's what I have learned through my journey. We're talking about when God says no. So let me ask you tonight, have you ever found yourself at a time where you've been seeking God about a thing and you're just waiting on the word from God and trusting him for direction, and out of nowhere, all of a sudden you get a very clear no? Anybody? It was God saying no. So what do we do? Me, like you, I know we've probably all been guilty of it. We have this delete button in our brain, in our psyche, where you delete that response. And then you begin going right back and trusting God to show you the answer or give you the answer that you wanted because you didn't like the one he gave you the first time. And then what happens? Silence. And you're like, God, how come you're not talking to me? Because I already did. But we didn't like his answer. When God says no, if we're lucky, he'll tell us again, no. Or we'll just press on through with our own agenda and do what we want to do and then blame God when everything falls apart. It's important that we listen to the voice of God. We're going to get, I almost want to jump straight to the end, give you the points and go home. Listen, we serve a God who is our heavenly Father. Just like I'm a father and I love to give gifts to my girls, to our girls, to our children. Our heavenly Father, the word clearly shows, he tells us he wants to give us gifts. Sometimes the greatest gift that he can give to you and I is the gift of no. The gift of no. He enjoys giving us gifts. It sounds crazy, but parents understand. We spend as parents, how many parents in the house? We spend a majority of our life as parents early on saying what? No, 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 no. More than we say yes. We want to say yes, but we understand that a fork in the hand of a toddler running towards an outlet is not a good idea. No, right? Or when our girls were, when our two older girls, when they turned 16, 17, and they got cars, and Ansley was around the age of 10, and the greatest gift we could give them was a car. Older girls. But the worst mistake we could have ever made, if Ansley looked at us and go, well, Daddy, can I have the keys? If I would have just handed her the keys, bless her heart. Now she would have tried, but I would have been irresponsible. Why? Because she wasn't ready for that responsibility. And that's why when in God's word he begins to share with us things that we shouldn't do, we look at it as no, as a bad thing, because that's what society is trying to tell us. I mean, I've already heard they're 3 days in to school at the high school, and they went back to one of the rules when Dad was principal, where when you hit campus, phones go off. These students are about to lose their mind. My Lord, you're there to learn. They're scrounging around trying to figure out ways. Well, it's not in the bylaws. It's not in the board minutes of what we're supposed to do. Who cares what it says? If someone in authority tells you, shut the thing off, bless God, you shut it off. That's where we are in society. They're losing their minds. Listen, no is not a bad thing. No is for you actually to become intelligent. Because just sitting there looking at this, you're going to learn a lot of stupid stuff that won't get you real far in life. No is not a bad thing. I mean, I heard a lot of no's going up. In Pastor Dennis's house, when I was a senior in high school, my curfew on the weekends was midnight. Oh, Dad, I'm dating this girl in Gainesville. Let it be 1 a.m. so I can stay there till 12. No. Y'all know what the answer was when I said why? Because nothing good happens after. Well, now that I've experienced life a little bit and I got girls of my own, it's my version. Nothing good happens after 10 p.m. And Ansley knows it's true. No is for your protection. Think about the things we ask God for. And we're going to get there. We're going back to the scripture. Sometimes he'll say no for a moment, and then other times he'll say no for a lifetime, because he has your best interest at heart. My Lord, he created you. Why would he want to destroy the very thing that he created? And why do we want to destroy the very one who actually wants to give us gifts by running our mouth to God? But then we want to talk about people in the government and people over the school system and our parents. We want to talk about all this stuff because it rubs us the wrong way. When ultimately it all comes down to, and I'm jumping all the way to the end, do we trust that God is in control? People who are going for interviews, and I told Amy, I said, baby, if that job is yours, it doesn't matter if they don't like you or if their kinfolk fell in line for the next job. It doesn't matter. If it's yours, God's already settled it. Don't worry about it. The enemy wants to get you and I all worked up, anxious and anxiety, when really the job was yours all along. I'm just trying to help somebody, instead of the enemy just bombarding you all the time with, he's in control. And it don't always work out like I want it to. And I'm okay with, I'm learning to be okay with that. Somebody needs to say me too, Pastor B. Because I'm feeling all alone up in this little church. There's too many of y'all in here for it to sound like I'm by myself. It's the gift of no. It's the gift of no. Unfortunately, what has happened is we have allowed society and the culture to define what no means. We look at no as something negative. We look at no as something critical. We look at no as restricting or limited. Listen, I refuse to allow culture to dictate to me how I interpret a no from God. We don't need to be like we were when our parents said, no, you can't stay out past midnight. Don't be that way with God. I hope we've learned from our past mistakes. Come on, somebody. sneaking around, slipping around. I know. When we truly understand the nature and the character of God as loving, kind, gracious, that he's for us and not against us, he wants to give us hope in a future. When we understand his intentions for us, we know that his character, when we know his character and we understand, we won't trip out when he says no. Amen. Listen, sweet baby girl, I know your spirit's soaking it up. You're looking around the room, but your spirit is soaking it up. That's what we're doing. We're creating an atmosphere in here that our kids, that just soaks through the walls. They're learning about Jesus, but because of what we're doing in here, they're feeling Jesus. I'm telling you, when God picks a person or a group of people to do what he's called them to do, what he's called all of us to do, and we're willing to set aside how we want it to be done, and we say, God, you can have all. I'm telling you, you put a target on your back. We cannot get offended when we hear no from God, because what we might want to do is going to hold us back from getting to where God really wants us to be. Because we concerned with how I can feel now. What's it going to do for me now? How's it going to fill my pockets now? We got to make sure that we got everything out of the way so that we can get to exactly where God wants for us and our families. Come on, somebody. So when God says no to a thing, it's for your benefit. Somebody say, it's for my benefit. It's for my benefit. Look, in Acts 16, we read where this guy named Paul is on these missionary journeys, and he goes on three. This is the second one, and he shows up in a city, and he preaches Jesus, and the masses of people, I'm trying to put all this together, masses of people are getting saved, and he established what we know as the local church. But in Acts 15, there's a council meeting that's taking place, and that's where they created some guidelines and some things, and there began to be conflict. Everybody say conflict. Conflict in the church. You think it just happens today? It happened way back then. You got all these people that said, well, this is how Moses said you're supposed to do it. And when these Gentiles get saved, they need to be circumcised. I don't know about you, but a 45-year-old man, you come and tell me that I got to be circumcised. And now, if you don't know what it means, do not Google it. Not in church. But that's what they were doing. And so it was causing some friction. And so they met and said, you know what? This is really what you're missing the point. Follow me. Conflict in the church. People get scared when there's conflict. People say, I got to get out of here. Listen, if you're really in a relationship, there's always going to be conflict. Marriage, friendships, church, if you're in a real relationship, there's always going to be conflict. Conflict is the way to greater intimacy. And all my married people said, amen. Conflict is the avenue to greater intimacy. Remember what I said on intimacy? It's intimacy. You're into me. When there's conflict, it causes us to actually do it the way God wants it done. In the church, in the home, in the marriage, with our kids. I'm trying to cover everything. But you got to stick it out. Everybody say, stick it out. You got to stick it out in your marriage. You got to stick it out in the church. You got to stick it out with your friendships. Stick it out. Conflict doesn't mean something's wrong. It just confirms the reality of you and I are human. But now we just have to say, okay, God, we commit this thing to you. Conflict doesn't mean that there's a problem. It's how we handle conflict that determines if there'll be a problem. So the backstory of Acts 15, the reason for the conflict, was the rules and regulations. And we can read in Acts 15. I don't even remember if it's on the screen or not, but I'm going to read this to you. It says, brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that Gentiles might hear. This is all of them. This is all the religious people in a room. And they're having a conflict of whether they should be circumcised, because we want to make sure that we're doing it exactly how it's supposed to be done. And this is what Peter got up and addressed them and said, brothers, you know that for some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, see, man looks on the outward. That's why the circumcision was put in place. But God knows the heart and showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. Funny, we'll receive it, but we don't want to give it away. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples, or people who are trying to follow Christ, a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have ever been able to bear? No. Everybody say no. We believe it is through grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus, that we are saved just as they are. So basically, God was saying, you no longer have to follow the law. When Jesus showed up, he fulfilled the law altogether. Amen? We've been saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, that no man or woman can boast. Why I love this so much is when God says no to something, it's always followed by a greater yes. Can I say that again? When God says no to something in your life, it's always followed by a greater yes. It's not that he doesn't want you to, I wish our young people in here now. It's not that he doesn't want you to experience intimacy, but when it's taken out of context, he would be an irresponsible parent if he gave you everything that we are able to have and enjoy in life if it's before our time. So always remember, anytime God says no to something, it's always followed by a greater yes. Okay, so we just read a few moments ago that Paul wanted to go and preach the gospel in Asia, and the Holy Spirit said no. Now, what sense does that make? Because don't you think everybody needs to hear the gospel? He actually got a no twice. Twice. And I've watched people who have a heart to feed the hungry and the homeless and those things, and have lost everything, because just because it's the heart of God doesn't mean it's the timing of God. Just because it's the heart of God to help and touch doesn't mean it's the timing, because God knows if they're ready. If they're not ready, all you're doing is spending all your resources on an empty bucket with a hole in it. It's timing. It's timing. I want to give you four things. How does God give us no's? Are you ready? How does God give us no's? Number one, through his word. That's first and foremost. How does he give us no's? Through his word. I've actually seen this. Man, you see her? She hot, ain't she? I just believe God told me she's going to be my wife. Really? She married to somebody else. See, God says no for a reason. Hello? I just keeping that real. That's real life stuff. He says no through his word. It's the greatest way that God can say no, through his word. The most loving thing that God can say to us and communicate to us, the most loving thing, is to say no. It's for our benefit. We know that this word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. If you don't know about the next step, put a little light on it. Huh? You follow me? If you don't know what the next move should be, if you don't know, you going on a date, single people? Drop this in the middle of the, you know, right there in your car. Drop that right there. That'll shut that devil down in a minute. You put a little light on it. Especially when it gets close to midnight. I know I'm talking to somebody. Not me, I'm married. Put a ring on it. Number two. What is another way that God, I know you're not going to like this one. What's another way that God says no? Through leadership. Through your boss. Through teachers, through our parents, through pastors, through our employer. We've got to trust that God is in control. You know how many no's I've gotten in ministry? When I was a lot younger? You tell me no? You don't even know who I am. Man, when I sing to angels, you know. Let me tell you something. God is not concerned about our gifts. He's trying to shape your character. God don't need to see our resume. He wants to know, what's your character like? When I say no, are you going to pitch a fit? I ain't going back to that church. Pastor making me feel bad about what I'm doing. It's not the pastor, it's Jesus. Hello. And you're going to keep hitting that wall until you accept no. And I'm telling you what, it gets harder and harder. I'm not talking about your head getting hard. I'm saying that it gets harder and harder the more you keep going and keep going. Just let him have his way. Let Jesus have his way. Because his no opens up a whole nother level of greater for our lives. Do you believe it tonight? Amen. Number three. So God says no through his word, no through leadership. Number three, he says no through the Holy Spirit. That's that voice that when you're stepping out and you're in them areas and things you know you ain't supposed to be doing, you feel that little tug. That's called the Holy Spirit. And number four, through circumstances. He says no through circumstances. Those are circumstances that when you step out and try to do it your way, he's still right there. He's still right there. Protecting. Trying to guide us. How does he guide us? He guides us through a no. In closing. So as we just read, God said no for a moment. Because as we go back through, if you keep on reading, he later allowed him to go to Asia. And we're going to look next week at why the no was so important. Remember I told you God guides and steers our life with no, directs us with no? We're going to look at this next week about what the no was setting us, what the no was setting them up for. Okay? In order for us to be okay with God's no, it comes down to two things. Trust and timing. We've got to trust that God is in control. Even though there are people over us, I don't like my job, I don't like my boss, they're not ultimately in control. I don't like the president, he's not in control either. If that was the case, then that would mean that God, I can't see him. That's why our salvation is, it's a faith walk. Hello. Ultimately, we have to be confident that no matter what, God is in control. No matter what comes, God is in control. This thing gets messed up when I take back control and I try to do this and I step out and do this. God must stay in, he's in control, but he'll allow you to have your control. Amen. So if you're here tonight and you say, I just want to pray for you and we're going home. And you say, I have had an issue or I'm having an issue with why God hasn't said yes to some things. What's that yes look like? That means the things that you're asking for is working out. Or the things you want. Maybe you haven't even prayed about it. Well, that would be a start. And you say, you know what? Tonight I'm acknowledging that I've had an issue. I'm standing. I know you see me standing, but on the inside I'm standing right now. God, I don't know. I trust you, but this timing thing, I'm not feeling the timing thing. Anybody else? If that's you, will you stand? Well, how are you gonna pray for us, Pastor B, if you standing too? Because that's me acknowledging we on the same team, on the same level. Amen? So, Father, tonight, We're standing here in your presence.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.